Well, we're beginning a new series this morning. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. I've had this on my heart for some time, but I couldn't begin this until we did our series, which just recently finished on Words Matter. Because we had to learn about the power of words and the importance of words before we could enter into a subject on the power of prayer. Because prayer requires words. Prayer is a spoken thing. So let's open in prayer. And I'm going to seek utterance from God to deliver this message according to his word, because this will probably go for a couple of months. There's a lot in this, so much about prayer. And I need to hear this first. And God's teaching me a lot of things about prayer. Father, we want to thank you this morning. We know, Lord, that your Holy Spirit's the teacher. He leads and guides us into all truth. Lord, we know that every Christian endeavor is founded on prayer. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would give me the words to speak this morning that would be in harmony with your word, the truth, that I would give honor to your word this morning. And Father, we're going to learn some things in the coming months that are going to help us to be powerful prayers, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. And we thank you for it, Father. And we receive it by faith in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And then flip over and hold your place in Luke 11, but also Luke 18, verse 1. Two scriptures, two foundation scriptures this morning. Luke 11, 1. And also open up to Luke 18, 1. I'll read two verses of scripture first to set the tone for this series. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 says this: And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say. Now, I'm going to stop it there. I'm going to come back to that at some point. But I want to make that point. He started with, when you say, when you pray, say. Now, Luke 18, verse 1. And again, I want to introduce something that Jesus says, and we're going to go into it in more detail in the coming weeks. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. So that doesn't mean that we're praying continually 24/7. Not even Jesus did that in Scripture. But he's referring to a lifestyle of prayer, a lifestyle of prayer. And prayer can take many, many forms, and we're going to look at that as well. But the disciples observed something about Jesus in respect to prayer, and he said, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So we know something about John the Baptist. He taught his disciples to pray. And then he says, men ought always to pray and not faint or not lose heart. So the most powerful and influential people in the world today are Christians who know how to pray and have their prayers answered. They're the most powerful people in the world today who can tap in to heaven's grace by faith. That's how you tap into the grace of God, by faith. There's only one way in to the grace, and it's by faith. Prayer is a foundation, as I said, for every Christian endeavor, every single one, including this church. However, praying to get results must be based on God's word. When we pray according to his will, we have a confidence that our prayers will be answered. Now, that is a foundational truth to praying, that we pray according to his will. Not scattergun prayers, not a wishing and a hoping prayers. No, we pray according to the word, the eternal word of God. Go with me to 1 John. Back of the book, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. So this morning we're going to lay a foundation in respect to prayer. And this is the most important foundation of this subject. And that is, when we pray, do we pray according to the will of God? Because when you pray according to his will, he hears us. Do you think that's pretty important?
Yeah.
We want God to hear us, don't we? Then we've got to pray according to his will. Now let's see what the word says about that. Because if we read it in the word, then we know it's a truth and it's established and we can take it as our own. All right. Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, and I'm adding here in brackets, according to his will, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, does that sound like a position of faith to you?
Yep.
It does. Because what it's saying is, if we ask according to his will, we know. We know that he hears us, and if we know that he hears us, we know that we have what we've asked. So that's a position of faith. Now, the only way that we know he hears us is when we, by faith, take this word and use it as a basis for prayer. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Isn't that what Isaiah says? But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. So his word never returns void. Man's word can, and often does, but not God's word. Why? It's eternally set in heaven. Your word, O God, is eternally set. It's established. It's unchanging as God is unchanging. It'll change no more than God. And can I tell you that God will never change? God will never change. The world's got its opinions about life. God's decreed life. God's decreed things. He's given us great and precious promises that pertain unto life and godliness, because they're eternal. So you can only have a confidence in something if it's a secure and an assured thing. It's got to be assured. It's got to be like rock. Otherwise, you know, you're praying on what, shifting sand? We don't want that. So it says that when we pray according to his will, he hears us. Okay? And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now go with me just a little bit earlier to James. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And I want to read from verse 13. James 5, 13. Now, it's interesting when you study out this book. Now, James had some amazing insight about Jesus, who's a half brother. But when you read this, understand who he's speaking to. He says this, verse 13 of James 5. Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now that's going to tell you something about who he's ministering to here. If there's any sick among you, call for the elders. You call. You get out of bed by faith. You call for the elders and they'll anoint you with oil so you can feel something. These are babies. These are babies. They're not established in faith yet. But that's why there's a place. Faith is a progressive thing. See, you can come to a place where you believe you receive when you pray. Amen?
Yes.
When you pray, you believe that you receive. But there are those that need to call for the elders to lay hands on them, to minister oil. That's okay. God's got it all covered. But he's talking to those if. It's interesting. He says, if there are any sick among you. As if to say, that's unusual. And that should be unusual in the kingdom. Because we're in covenant with God, and part of that covenant includes healing. So, are there any sick among you? He's questioning it. Are there any sick among you? You know, if there are, you get out of bed by faith, you ring up the elders and get them to come and anoint you with oil. Interesting. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he commits any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So it's a powerful force. I want to read that in the Amplified Classic. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps. Sorry, your faults, your slips, and your false steps, your offences, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its workings. Wow. That's power. The power of prayer. It's dunamis power. That's God power. When we start praying and believing that one, he hears us, and two, that prayer is answered, we're going to see things manifest in the natural realm. Prayer is powerful, but it's got to be in faith, like everything else that we do. The just live by faith except for prayer. No, it doesn't say that. No, the just live by faith. Period. So if we're going to take from heaven's reserve its resource, then we have to take it by faith. And prayer will bring into this natural realm that which is stored for us. Everything that we need to be an overcoming, victorious church is there for us. It's there for us right now. Everything you need to fulfill the call and destiny that God has for your life individually, personally, is already set aside in the realm of the Spirit for you to take the grace by faith.
Yes.
And prayer is a key part of that. So, go with me to John 15. John 15. We're laying a foundation. John 15, verse 7 and 8. Jesus said this, if you abide in me. Now, does your Bible have an and next to that? So it's more than just the abiding, would you agree?
Yeah.
He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So if we think that we're going to be powerhouse prayers with empty hearts and no word, think again. I can't and you can't. We need the word in our hearts. This isn't something we just, you know, grab quickly on a Sunday. We open up the Bible, then throw it, you know, on the bench till next Sunday. That doesn't cut what God's saying here. He's saying, if you abide in me, if you reside with me, if you're connected and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So that's confidence. That word ask is prayer. So there's confidence here. If we abide in him and the word abides in us, we ask what we will, it shall be done for us. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Isn't it interesting? It didn't say sons. Do you see that? Are we sons and daughters? Yes. Disciples are fruit bearers. You can be a son and produce nothing in the kingdom and have a place in eternity. We can be sons and daughters in the kingdom and do nothing for God, because our salvation is not based on works. It's his righteousness by grace. But once saved, there's a place for works. That's why some struggle with the book of James. They think, oh no, he's saying we've got to get into works. No, he's not. He's saying faith without our works, what is it? Dead. It's dead. But we're not saved by works. We're saved by the amazing, wonderful grace of our Lord God. But once saved, once we're filled with his love and his grace, and he gifts us with spiritual authority and power, we can then do works that bring blessing to the kingdom. So that's where fruit is. So disciples are fruit bearers. He says it. But we're only going to be fruit bearers if we abide in him and the words of God are abiding in us. That's when we ask what we will and it shall be done for us. Why wouldn't God want to give us what we need to bear fruit? Think about it. Of course he would. God's not holding back. God wants to bless his children so he can advance his righteous cause. Hallelujah. So, what is prayer? Well, prayer is communication with God with confidence and assurance. It's believing and receiving what he has already given to us in Jesus, and that's grace. It's also worship. Prayer is worship. See, what we did this morning was praise. Worship is an attitude of the heart. We worship in our life. We worship in our words. We worship in prayer. We praise him through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making music and melding our hearts unto the Lord. But we worship with posture, with attitude. That's worship. Prayer's worship. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. One of the things I noticed about some of the scriptures we just read then was that there's an element of confidence when we pray. If we've got that confident assurance that we pray, he hears, and then he answers, then there's going to be that dynamic power behind the prayer. And Hebrews chapter 4 encourages us to have confidence as we go to the throne of grace. I want to read from verse 14. And it says this: seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or confession. So stay firm with your words. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Don't ever, ever say something like, God has no idea what I'm going through. How foolish that is. God, if you only could have an appreciation of what I'm going through right now, can I tell you, God has an appreciation, people. He was tempted exactly the way we were. The difference was he never sinned. I was just saying this to Helen, who does go, how is that? Jesus never sinned. Not as a boy, not as a teenager, not as a young man, not when the Pharisees tried to kill him, not when his own disciples thought he was a bit lunatic, not when one, you know, betrayed him, not when they hung him on a cross. Never once did Jesus sin. And you might say, well, he was God. Didn't he put aside his deity? Didn't he put aside his godliness and became as a man and died a sinner's death on a cross? Did he not? Yes. then if Jesus could walk sinless, was that an example for us? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Now, we have some insight as to why Jesus was like that. Well, one, we know he only did the will of the Father. Is that right? Did he only say the things that he heard his Father say? Yes. Did he only do the things that he saw his Father do? Yes. There's your secret. There's your secret. If you say what he says, you do what he does, you won't sin. And I won't sin. It's when we don't do what he says and we don't do what we see him do that we get off. That's the secret. How is it possible for Jesus to walk sinless? Well, one, he was anointed of the Holy Ghost, was he not?
Yes.
Are we not?
Yes.
We're anointed of the Holy Ghost. We couldn't do things the same as Jesus if we weren't anointed in the same way. He said, greater works than me shall you do because I'm going to my Father. And wait, because the Comforter is going to come. There's going to be an anointing. So if he didn't anoint us, how could we do what he asked us to do? Couldn't. It would have been an unjust statement. But he anointed us the same way God anointed Jesus. The difference is he was able to control this. His words were the words of the Father. And his actions were only based on what he saw. So that gives me great comfort and knowledge that if I'm going around praying for someone that they would be whole, that I'm doing the will of God. Because I'm struggling to find in this book somewhere where Jesus, by the will of God, made us sick. But I'll tell you what, if you listen to some preaching, you'd have to query that. There is nowhere in this book where God, through his son Jesus, intentionally put sickness on someone, because that's not the will of the Father. Jesus only did the will of the Father. Not surprising, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. So if he's going around doing good and healing, why? Because God's a good God. No surprise that Jesus went about doing good and healing, because God's a good, healing, righteous God. And he's faithful to his word. That's a God that we're talking about here. So with that in mind, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. With that in mind, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Now, let me clarify something here. It does not say come to the cross.
No.
Who comes to the cross? The sinner. The righteous come to the throne. We're not knocking on the gates. The gates are a long way from the throne if you study Revelation and do the math. The gates are a long way from the throne. He never said, come to the gates. He said, come to my throne, right into the center of where I reside. You come with boldness, confident assurance, and come and sit on my knee.
Amen.
That's what he's saying here. We don't, you there, God? You know, Peter's on the gate saying, listen, you've got about 750 kilometres that way. No, 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 no. He says, come right into the shrine. Now, we know under Old Testament Levitical law, the only one that could do that was a high priest once a year for the atonement of Israel's sin. Once. That's it. And if he got it wrong, he's dead. He says, come boldly. Just come boldly. Who is this God that gives us this amazing, you know, open door? We have throne rights. Throne rights. Do we take advantage of them? Or do we just get up in the morning talking about our broken state? Everything around us is no good. All these things are happening. But you can rise above that in prayer. You can rise above that in the knowledge that God is for us. He's not against us. And when something tries to slap itself on your body, say, get, devil. You're not putting that on me. It's not yours. Don't call it yours. This, you know, cancer or this arthritis is not your arthritis. It's nothing. It's not yours. It's from the pit of hell.
Amen.
It's not God's.
Amen.
God doesn't give something he hasn't got. But what he has, he gave. And he gave his best.
Yes.
He gave his best. He gave his only begotten. What he has, he gives. Isn't that what Peter said? Such as I have, I give. Can I ask you this question? When Peter and the apostles received that amazing baptism in fire, were they now filled with wickedness and sickness and disease and oppression and say, what I have, I'm going to give to you. I haven't got silver and gold, but what I have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Nazareth, be sick.
No. Get up and walk.
Why is it that he said, what I have, I'm going to give? What I have, what did he have? He had power and authority to do what Jesus did, and that is to come against the curse.
Amen.
That's what he had. He said, I don't have silver or gold. And that doesn't mean he was impoverished. At that point, he had no silver and gold. But what he had, he said, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Well, there was healing in that anointing. There was grace for healing. Why don't we see that? Why don't we see more of that? Laying on of hands. Thank God in this church people are doing that and people get healed. Why? Because we dare to believe what he said in his word. Because such as we have, we give. We don't give what we don't have. We don't talk sickness. We don't talk disease. We don't talk lack. We don't talk poverty. We don't talk defeat because we're the victorious ones.
Amen.
We're not defeated. No devil can defeat us. He's defeated. How can a defeated foe defeat the righteous rulers? We're the righteous rulers on earth.
Amen.
Yes, there's a curse. Yes, we're redeemed from the curse, but the curse hasn't been removed from earth. The curse hasn't been removed from the earth. It still exists. It's still there. We have to resist it. We are living in a cursed world. Remember, we're in the world, but we're not
of it.
We're not of it. Why is that? Because this isn't home. Home's heaven. We're seated in heavenly places, spiritually speaking, but we're living in a fallen, cursed world. And I tell you, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord, you have no protection. Your kids have no protection. Your body has no protection. Your mind has no protection from this curse. It's every molecule of planet Earth is infected with it, unless you're redeemed from the curse.
Amen.
When you're redeemed from the curse, you're in victory. But can I tell you this? Even redeemed from the curse, if you get out into the world and chase the things of the world and spend little time with God, you're as much a target as the world. This is what keeps us when we're in the secret place of the Most High. When we abide in Him, He keeps us. But you're going to have to abide. You're going to have to abide. And so do I. That's the place of grace. That's where the victory is. Hallelujah. So we come boldly to His throne of grace. And He says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And of course, Philippians 4:6, very quickly. Philippians 4:6. It says this: be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by what?
Prayer.
Not begging. Not worry. He said, by all things through prayer. And it goes on to say, and supplication, and that word supplication simply means petition or request, with thanksgiving. So the reason why you're thanking Him is because you're praying in faith that what you pray has already been done. It's already been heard and it's already been answered. Why wouldn't you thank a God that you know has answered your prayer for you? The ones that don't thank God are the ones that are wishing and are hoping. And maybe, God's going to hear me one morning because I've screamed enough. You'll never get your prayers answered. He's a faith God. If God was moved by emotion, my goodness, He would be on His knees grieving today for the state of the world. He's not moved by that. Faith is what gets God's attention. What pleases God, people?
Faith.
Not emotion. There's a sick world with sick kids out there, abused kids, all that stuff we hear about. There's a darkness out there. Why isn't God moving on that? God moves by faith. God's a faith God. And God responds to faith. And that's why when we're in faith, God will act. He says here, we keep reading. Thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you realize when you're in a hard place, particularly in your mind, if you pray and believe and thank Him, you're going to have peace in your mind. Amen. He says it. There's a good, assured way to get peace back is when you give it to Him in prayer. Don't hold on to it. That's humility, is when we cast it to God. That's a beautiful place to be. And that's where we rest in Christ. You know, and that request, that word request, is a thing asked. Okay, so go with me very quickly to Matthew chapter 6. Lay a foundation this morning and then we're going to pick it up next week. Matthew 6. Remember I said earlier in Luke chapter 11 too, prayer is spoken, not thought. Hello? We don't meditate, it's not prayer. It's nothing. That's worldly garbage. Prayer is spoken. Why? Because we're living, speaking spirits. We're creating the likeness and image of God because we have a speaking spirit. We're not animals. Animals don't speak and create. We can. That's why we're in the God class. You know, God didn't go, and light was. He said, light be, and light was. If He had gone, it'd be darkness today. Hello? It would have been darkness. God spoke it and it was so. We've got creative power. So our prayers are not thought. You may develop thoughts about how to pray, but you've got to speak words for power to flow. So with Matthew chapter 6, okay, and verse 19. Before I say that, let me tell you what prayer is not. All right? Prayer is not trying to get God's attention. Hello? Some of you might need to write this down. I had to. Prayer is not trying to get God to do something. He's already done it. Amen. Hello? If Jesus has to climb back on the cross, that's getting God to do something. He's done it.
Amen.
It's finished. The next one. Prayer changes things, not God. God can't change. Your prayers don't change God. Your prayers don't change His position. If you doubt that He's a healer, then you don't receive healing. God can't change.
Amen.
If your prayers don't line up with His truth, then you don't get His truth. That's how serious this is. That's why we've got to learn about prayer, people. That's why we study about words for nearly 2 months so we get our words right when we pray. Hallelujah. All right, very quickly, the model prayer. Have a look at this. Matthew 6 and 9 through to 13. Jesus said this, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He said, in this way we pray. Now, let's unpack this a little bit. Firstly, you know, this is a model or pattern how to pray. It's not a formula. Not a formula, and it's not a rigid ritual. So it's not what that is. Okay, and it's not religious communication with God. You know, our Father, one, every little bit of the other, can come, blah, blah, blah. You know, in and out, quick, happy meal. That, no, he said, this is a pattern. Let's unpack it a bit quickly. Firstly, our Father, which is in heaven. Well, He's our Father, is revealed by the Holy Spirit. If you don't know him as Father, you're not born again. He's Father. So when we go to God, we're not going to this nebulous thing in the sky hoping that some, you know, spiritual being will hear us. No, we're going to Abba, Daddy, Father. We're going to Dad. We're going to get on his knee because we're now in the throne room. And we know he's going to hear us. That's number one, our Father in heaven. So that first, what he's saying is be confident who you're praying to. He's your Father and my Father. Isn't that what he said to Mary at the tomb? I'm going to go to your Father and to my Father, your God and to my God. Is he your God as much as he's Jesus? Is he your Father as much as he was Jesus' Father? That's important. That's the first thing. Is he our Father? Secondly, he says this, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Our Father who's in heaven. All right. We need to recognize his lordship. That's where he resides. Of course, you know, he's authority and lordship because he is the God of heaven. He's not our Father in earth. It's our Father that's in heaven. He's in the high place. He's in the place of authority. He's got lordship. He's the ruler of all. That's the Father that we're praying to. So here are the first 2 points. When we go to God and pray, we say, Father in heaven. Wow, that just lifted things right up, didn't it? Right up. Way above this natural plane. Now, the next one. Hallowed or holy is your name. Now, we could talk about that for a week. Think about this for a minute. I'm going to give you 12 expressions of God's name. His name is holy and to be honored because there are attributes identified in the names of God. There are his attributes and his qualities. Firstly, he's Elohim. He's the creator. Elohim. You don't get better than that. So, hallowed. Holy is your name. Elohim, you hear me. Another one, Jehovah, which is Yahweh. Now the Hebrew spell that YHWH, YHWH. You want to speak the name of God in its original? YHWH. That's God, Yahweh. Yahweh. He's the eternal one, the all-existent one. You know, how is it that some Bibles can write, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was a God? A God? Well, a God is not Yahweh and a God is not Elohim, because Elohim and Yahweh is the all-existing eternal one. He is the supreme ruler of the universe. He's God. There's only one. That's the name that we give honor to. Amen. Let me keep going. He's El Shaddai. He's El Shaddai, my supply or my nourishment. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my victory or my banner. He's our victory. Amen. He's our victory. He goes before us and he goes behind us. Didn't he do that with the Israelites?
Yes.
He'd do it for them, he'll do it for us.
That's right.
He goes before us and he goes behind us.
Yes.
Jehovah Mikadesh, he's the Lord my sanctifier. He makes us whole.
Amen.
Didn't Jesus say, be made whole?
Yes.
You know, be whole, go on your way and don't sin anymore. Neither will I condemn you. Now go on your way and sin no more. Only God can make us whole. Only God can recreate the human spirit. Not man, you know, not man. Man can deal with this to a degree, but he can't change you on the inside. You can go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and I'm not speaking against them, but they can't make you whole. They can minister to symptoms, but they can't recreate your spirit. That's where wholeness comes. Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord, my righteousness. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. He became sin. Who knew no sin? that we who are sinners could become righteous. What's that? The great exchange. He took our bad that we could get his good. He's our righteousness. Because he knew that our self-righteousness couldn't cut it. It wasn't a big enough bridge to gap between man and God. Didn't even go close. Israelites tried that. Wrong. Fail. Self-righteousness is a curse. Performance is a curse. You hear me say it all the time. We don't perform for God. We don't perform in church. We rest. We rest in the grace that God's given us. And then God will show us what we must do. And he is. And I get testimonies all the time in this church about what you're doing out in the world, touching people's lives for him. Hallelujah. How powerful that is. He is Jehovah, our righteousness. He's Jehovah Shalom. Didn't we study about that? All is well. The Shunammite woman. All is well. Shalom. He's our peace. The Lord my peace, or the Lord is peace. Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. And that also means intimate friendship. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He lays me down. Green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He does it. He's leading us. He's guiding us into all truth by his wonderful Holy Spirit. Jehovah Shammah, his presence, or the Lord is there. Now there's 12 of them. They're not all the names, but these 12 reveal the heart and nature of God, the attributes of God. So when you say, you know, Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. That's what you're saying. Holy is your name. Holy, holy, holy is your name. All right. Your kingdom come. Well, you know, the kingdom's within. It's within. For the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You can make a note, Romans 14:17. The kingdom's not out there in that sort of ether. No, the kingdom's within. The kingdom's in us. See, we have to understand that. The kingdom is not in words, but in power. Paul said that, 1 Corinthians 4:20. And didn't Jesus say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you? Well, his kingdom is God's way of doing and being. That's what it is. So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Remember, this is a pattern. Well, his will is for all to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. His will is for all to be healed. How do we know that? He went to a leper. The leper said, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. He said, I will. He's no respecter of persons. He said, I'm willing. He did the will of the Father. Everywhere he went. It's his will. He wants people redeemed and restored and to prosper. Didn't he say, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly? That's why he came. He didn't come to take from. He came to add to. We've got to believe what he says. Bring this to a close. Kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Our dependence, hear me people, is totally on him.
Amen.
Totally on him. Don't have a lifestyle where I will do this, God, and you fix up that part of it. No, give it all to him. Our dependence is totally on him, both spiritually and physically. You want your body well? Give it to him. Give it to him and he'll show you how to look after it. We have not because we ask not. Or we don't ask with right motives. If you need, ask. Doesn't he supply? My God should supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not according to your bank account or my bank account. This is a prayer we pray. This is a pattern. It's not some formula of religion. We are getting a hold of this eternal, righteous God who has multiple eternal facets, and we take it by faith. That's what we're doing. All right. So our dependence is totally on him, spiritually and physically. Then it goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Well, you know, if we confess and forsake sins, he'll have mercy. We don't want to hold on to our sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Don't hold on to things. Be quick to deal with it. God's not holding sin to your charge. He says, I won't remember it anymore. Your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. That's the covenant we're under. So we give it to him. We say, we missed it, Father God. He says, I know it. Move on. Keep going. Work to be done. I love you. No guilt, no shame, no condemnation. Don't give another thought because I've already forgotten it. It's already in the sea of forgetfulness. Don't go fishing there. Don't go under there and fish because you're going to bring up your dead past. It's what the devil wants. He wants you to talk about your missed opportunity last week. Well, you know what? Just go forward and grab the next great opportunity God has for you. Just keep going. Don't quit on God. I don't care what your circumstances are. Whatever yesterday was, bury it. Because God's got grace upon grace waiting for you if you will step out. Hallelujah. And then, of course, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those debtors. Well, you know, forgiveness is two-way. If God's forgiving us, which he is, do you reckon maybe we should do likewise? Do you think maybe we should forgive those who hurt us and who do things that they shouldn't do? We just love them. People hurt us. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Love them. That's the God way. That's what we do. And of course, you know, we are forgiven as we forgive others. You know, don't stay in an unforgiving state. It'll make you sick. It'll hinder your prayers. It'll prevent you hearing God's still small voice. Don't do it. Does God not love you? Of course he loves you. But he's got more for you. But if you've got this heavy weight on you, if you've got this cloud covering you, it's not good. Amen? So, forgive us our debts as we forgive others and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We seek daily guidance and protection, people. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. I will say. You've got to declare this. Declare it over yourself. We hear accounts of people that had close calls during the week. God is protecting us. We need to trust the God that protects us. People, this is the way we pray. This is a pattern. It's not a formula. It's a pattern. And of course, finally, it says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We said earlier during our time of praise this morning that he is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever and ever. There is no other. You know, there are many ways to God. Wrong. There are not many ways to God. And don't hang around people that keep spruiking that garbage because you might start picking it up. Don't be a part of that. That is from the pit. There is only one way to God. And his name's Jesus. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And if they don't come to the Father through Jesus, they ain't coming.
That's right. Amen.
They're going to a crisis eternity. How sad. When he said, I'm the way. We can't have multi-faith conventions. I'll tell you why. There is only one God. Let's have a multi-faith gathering and let's lift up your God and my God. Well, Elijah the prophet, he didn't get into that. He said, fire! And down it came and took out the Baals. You can't coexist with them. Love them, but don't hang around them. If they don't believe in your God, love them, but distance yourself. Why do I say that? Because God's protecting you. He's protecting you. You know, we're not some bless me club and we're not some exclusive type. We're none of that. We're out in the world being his hands and feet. But don't get tainted by the world. Don't get tainted by it. I'm closing on this. So he's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Prayer begins and ends with him. How do we know that? You know, he's the beginning and the end of our faith, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. We can't pray without it anyway. So he's everything. He's the I am. Whatever you need him to be, he is. He's I am. So we're going to stop there. Next week, we're going to talk about why do we need to pray? How often should we pray? And will God hear and answer prayer? We're going to have a look at Scripture. We're just started, just to start the journey. Go back and study some of this out. Read that prayer, an example of God, and let God minister to us. And what we're going to learn about this is that the authority that we have through prayer is untapped. None of us have plumbed the depth of it, and none of us will this side of eternity. But we want to have a good red-eyed crack at it, amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.